The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host, like our girl, Debbie. She's always down for a Texas margarita, a spicy margarita, margarita pizza, Margaritaville. It doesn't matter to her. It's the one and only Teresa out there.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? I like everything, but Margaritaville, it's not a vibe.
Have you ever been to Margaritaville,
yeah,
actually?
Yeah.
Great nachos.
Well, we haven't eaten there. I think we went in Nashville, didn't
we? Wasting away again in Margaritaville. We tried to go in Destin, but the people we were with were like, we're not going to Margaritaville. And I'm like, because you don't like to have fun?
I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah. Margaritaville, I think they're opening apartments now, too, which sign me up.
Oh, yeah.
Sign me up.
I've seen they have a cruise, too.
Sign me up for that.
No, I saw the photos. It looks horrible. Like, ew, no, thank you.
Like, what about like, it is horrible?
Outdated, dirty,
really?
Yeah.
Huh. Probably a pretty solid Jimmy buffet, if you know what I mean.
Not really.
Oh, you don't know what I mean?
No.
The cruises are known for their buffets.
Mm.
The singer of Margaritaville is Jimmy Buffett.
Wait.
Buffet.
There is a band called Margaritaville?
No. Jimmy Buffett, the artist. He's a singer.
Who's Jimmy Buffett?
Jimmy Buffett?
Uh-huh.
Mm. Jimmy Buffett is he's an old-time singer who likes to have a good time.
Okay.
He's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not much longer. But he, Cheeseburger in Paradise, Margaritaville.
I know the song. Okay.
It's all just feel-good music. It's like Jack Johnson's grandfather.
Still don't know who that is.
Oh. Anyways, he's got a song.
Hello, not born in the USA.
I know, but a fan of the margarita. So I figured.
I do like a good margarita, but here's my problem with margaritas.
We're done with Jimmy Buffett?
I don't know who he is.
All right. I'll play you a couple tracks when we finish up.
Margaritas are good at fancy, fancy restaurants because they use good tequila.
Not coffee shops in Morocco?
Not coffee shops in Morocco.
No.
You know why? Because fancy restaurants use good tequilas, but also they don't have this they have a homemade kind of mix.
A fancy, right, not the bottled, sugary, chemically.
And I hate that. Yeah. I really do. And as much as, yes, those fancy margaritas come with a price, right? I would take that and just have one or two and then switch to beer, classic. Then having those sugary margarita, I can't take it. That gives me a headache.
Yeah. You're not even enjoying a cocktail at that point. You're just having a sweet.
Yeah. And I hate when I ask people, hey, is the margarita sweet? They're like, no. Can you make it spicy? Yeah. And then I get a sweet margarita that is not spicy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everyone's level of sweetness is different. You are anti-sweet.
Yeah. I cannot do sweet.
And so even the slightest bit of sweet, I feel like, sets you off. But for most people, they prefer sweet. Most people,
yeah.
I think most people, I could be wrong. I think most people are sweet over salty.
Oh, maybe, I'm salty over not. Sweet.
Maybe not. But like everyone I know loves candy, loves sweets, ice cream, cake. Not me.
Not me. I do like ice cream when we travel. It's a thing.
Like a vacation ice cream.
Yeah, vacation ice cream.
Like a Main Street ice cream.
Yes.
Get a couple scoops and walk back to the hotel with a waffle cone.
Yeah. Sweet at the end of the
Alabama.
Night, that's how you end the night. After you're drunk and you had dinner, let's have a couple of scoops.
All right. Well, speaking about being drunk and the end, we're getting towards the end of this season. And who would have thought Nicole and Mahmood may be the most successful couple on this season at this point?
Well, we'll see. But I was going to add one more thing I just thought of.
Sure.
We ended 2022 with a nice ice cream. Remember, we were in Scottsdale,
Arizona.
We ran to that place before they closed down. It was on December 31st.
That was a beautiful street. That's that's the definition of a vacation ice cream. Is a nice street lined with shops and restaurants. And you grab yourself an ice cream and you stroll down.
Yeah, everyone was getting wasted and Jen and I just like eating this beautiful ice cream.
That was on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Was it?
We went twice. Okay. But yes, the last time we went on New Year's Eve.
All right. There you go. So Tell All starts next week.
What?
But it's only, they did this to us before. It's, I think the first hour is going to wrap up Chris and Jamie. It's going to wrap up
Gabe
and Isabel. It's going to wrap up Nicole and Mahmood. And then the second half, and again, I don't know. TLC doesn't talk to us. But the second half, I believe, is the first part of the tell-all.
So how many tells do we have?
I think one and a half, basically.
What? That's it?
Yeah.
What happened to my favorite three parts?
Nobody wants that. That's too many parts. One and a half.
Give us two parts, solid.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, if you got the goods, give it to us, but an unnecessary tell-all, there's nothing worse. If you're just sitting there and people are just repeating, nothing new is coming out, there's no interesting guests.
I guess I guess for this type of a tell-all where half of the cast is not there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. So we'll see. That's coming up next. Before we get into the show, real quick, we're on Instagram. Follow us there at Married to Reality Pod. Check out the memes, the news. Message us. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts on the season? What are your thoughts on what's coming next? I don't even know what's coming next. Is it regular, before, happily ever after? We'll see. Follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod for all that and more. Also, join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Married to Reality. I say it every week. You guys know I say it every week. But it's a PSA because if you like what you're listening to right now, you're really going to like what you get on the Patreon, because that is, we just let it go. We let it fly over there.
Oh, yeah.
If you thought we had loose lips on this podcast, well, we're sinking ships over there on the Patreon. Patreon.com/Married to Reality.
Yes.
Love in Paradise is what we're covering.
Yes.
And I love it.
I love it too.
It is Paradise.
I honestly, we just wrapped up Brother Husbands.
Seeking Brother Husbands.
Yeah, that was a 6-episode show.
Seeking a new show because that one kind of stunk.
I'm hoping Sister Wives are coming back.
Oh, it'll be back.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't know when.
But yeah, guys, come over. It's fun. We have the bonuses. I'm sure the Love is Blind After the Altar is coming soon. Mm-hmm. So we'll cover that.
And here's what I was thinking. Maybe we should talk off the mic. But a little, once in a while, we do a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Which is no matter what level the Patreon.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I was thinking of something else.
Oh, okay. Maybe let's talk off the mic.
We'll talk off mic.
Let's keep it a little secret.
We like secrets. But no matter what, check it out. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. See if you like it. Give it a go, and I think you're going to enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, talk to us, chat with us, comment on our shows. A lot of you guys chat underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. We chat, I chat.
Right. Don't always do the direct message. Do the comment under the post and get the group involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. So patreon.com/MarriedToReality. Also, just give us a follow wherever you're listening right now. Make sure you follow, because if we drop a bonus or anything, if there's a change in schedule, a delay, you're going to want to follow the podcast so you get the episode as soon as it drops. So easy to follow the pod. You look down, you smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's his heart is the indoor swimming pool that Chris booked for Jamie. I have to say, that looked fun.
Was it indoor?
Yeah, it was indoor, but they had these, it was like in a garden. Mm. They opened the door, there was a jacuzzi, and it was just for them.
Nice.
I freaking loved it.
Nice. All right. Smash like it's as hot as that.
Yeah.
And last but not least, you guys know we love reviews. You guys are sending them in. We're loving it. If you haven't left one, please do. And if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on the 90 Day Podcast, this very podcast. I have one I'll read for you right now, Teresa.
Is it a good one?
I only read the good ones. So this one is 5 stars from our friend Munch07575.
All right, Munch.
Titled, Great Podcast. I love these two. Their banter is really funny, and I find myself laughing out loud while I'm driving by myself.
Wow.
I've been listening every week since the beginning, and it's super fun. I also love Teresa's accent.
Oh, well, this is a special review.
Thank you, Munch.
I love when people appreciate my accent because it's going to sound harsh, but I don't.
Nobody likes their own voice, accent or no accent.
When I hear myself, I'm like, ew.
I think that's most people.
Really?
I think there's a science to it. Something about it.
Yeah.
If you like the sound of your own voice, I mean, you probably like a lot of other things about you too. So, yeah, I think it's normal not to like the sound of your own voice. But hey, Munch likes it. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Munch and John.
Yeah, thank you, Munch. Great review. We appreciate that. So thank you.
I love it. Thank you.
Be like Munch. Send in a review. And we'll read it on this podcast.
All right.
All right. Are you ready for a little 90 day, by the way?
You have some good ones this week or what?
I have some 90 day, by the ways.
All right. All right.
Number one. Okay. And a bunch of you guys sent this in. Thank you for sharing, but I stumbled upon it on my own as well. So I'm just going to take some credit here and say Jen of Jen and Rishi. She's going hard at Rishi's family on social media.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you see this, Teresa?
Yeah, I saw it from some of our friends who sent it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and I would shout you guys out. I didn't write down any names because I already had it queued up and ready to go for this, by the way. But thank you.
You guys know who you are.
You guys know who you are. Thank you for sending it in. So, okay. I think Jen's upset about everyone, us included, giving her and Randy and Myra shit for the way they kind of just went to Rishi's family's home and just dropped bombs all over the place. So everyone's been giving her shit for that. She's clearly upset. And to add insult to injury, in her mind, she's upset that not only are we and everyone else giving her shit, but everyone's sort of loving Rishi's family. Everyone's like, oh, they're so sweet. You just go into their home. They're being so nice and warm and welcoming. You go and do this. And Jen's like, not so fast. So she posted this tear-filled Instagram video where she accuses Rishi's family of a couple things. Basically, she calls them racist.
Ooh.
She says Rishi's family has criteria for a wife. For Rishi, and one of those pieces of criteria is that they're not dark-skinned.
Yeah.
That's not good. And she goes on to say, so can't be dark-skinned, can't be short.
And must be educated.
Must be educated.
You see?
You
I know what you're talking
about. Okay. And then on top of that, if that's not bad enough, Jen says Rishi has a brother with developmental disabilities. And Rishi's family, specifically Rishi's uncle, calls that brother worthless and useless.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's not good at all.
It's not good at all. I don't know if we know his siblings.
No, we don't, but here is, I'm not saying that. I'm not taking anyone's side. If that's true, that's horrible, right?
Of course.
Yes, but hear me out. She doesn't speak Hindi, so there could also be a misunderstanding in translation, unless Rishi told her that.
Interesting.
Right?
He may.
And I'm not saying that, oh, the uncle didn't say it or did say it. I don't know. I wasn't there. But many times there can be miscommunication when it comes to languages, especially when she doesn't speak it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know the truth. Obviously, there's three sides to every story. We've only heard her side.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two other sides we're not getting. But it's pretty wild of her to get on video and do this. She captioned the video, "How dare I? How dare my friends? Because I cannot possibly care less if this family accepts me." It's just coming with this strange, out of left field energy. And again, can't say that I don't believe her, because I have no reason not to believe her. But you make a good point, too. Rishi commented on the video, which is a little telling.
But he said, don't give her shit.
Well, he said, shame on me. Because of me, you have tears in your eyes. So he didn't jump in there and defend his family, which leads me to believe his family did say this stuff.
I'm almost like, I have a feeling that they are still together.
Interesting.
I mean, some it went around his family.
Interesting. Maybe not together in the classical sense, but I would say probably as much as they were a year ago.
Yeah.
Not living together, not in India together, but yes, they're probably still communicating. And
for sure.
He's probably leading her on and whatnot. But yeah, it's pretty wild that she would just come out and pretty accusatory. These are pretty heavy accusations.
Yeah, but people are giving her shit. So I feel like she just cannot take it.
People are giving her shit from what she did in the episode, or for this video.
No. For what she did in the episode.
Oh, because people are giving her shit for this video too.
Well,
they're pretty split down the middle of whose side they're on, if they're on Jen's or the family's side.
Yeah, all I'm gonna say is this: like, there are certain words in Czech or certain phrases that are not nice, and I'm not gonna say them. But they use similar words to English words that are not okay to use, right? Mm-hmm. And if you heard it, you would be like, what the fuck? But I would need to really go deep and explain it to you. And so that's why I'm saying there might be a misunderstanding.
There might be. I don't want to defend the family.
I mean, neither, but Rishi, I'm just saying I know that can happen.
Rishi didn't defend the family. Yeah. So if he's not defending his own family, then I'm sure he's not going to. And to me, it gives more credence to what Jen's saying. But hey, that's the story. All I do here is I deliver it. I'm not judging one way or the other. I'm just telling you guys what's happening out in the world of 90 Day Fiancé.
I love it. I forgot that this is your by the way, so we're talking about him. Yeah.
All right, we will shortly. By the way, number two, and here's one I don't know how much I believe, but the story comes from Screen Rant, which I think is overall a pretty respected publication in the community. So I'll share. For a long while now, there's been all sorts of rumors surrounding Kalani and Asuelu, right? There's been divorce rumors, cheating rumors, the works. But now it appears the latest story is that Kalani has a new boyfriend.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about something else.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about River and...
No, it's Winter and Asuelu.
I'm not going to talk about that because I think that's a couple 90-dayers getting together, having a good time. I don't think they're banging each other, but...
Who knows?
But here's what I know from this article. So a while back, apparently Asuelu was caught cheating. And to try to make up for it, he gave Kalani a hall pass.
What?
A hall. You've heard the term, you get a hall pass.
Oh, so she can bang someone and can be equal?
One off.
Oh, yeah. That's a great thing to do in a relationship.
That's probably a new 90 day or not a new show coming to TLC. Just like hall pass.
I would not be surprised.
Right? That's the next thing after Seeking Brother Husband, where Mike is basically just giving Elisa hall passes.
Yeah, not even that. Like after they did MILF Matter, anything can happen.
True. So Kalani gets a hall pass, gets with this guy. But apparently she developed feelings for him and this has turned into a relationship. And so there's been these photos and these Instagram stories being posted on her account of the same guy. You don't see his face, but you see these tattooed hands, these man's hands that are tattooed.
Like tattooed like Asuelu's tattoos.
Does he have them on his hand?
He has a lot, but I think those are tribal tattoos, what he has.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of these, but the photos are like a nice dinner where they're clinking glasses. Another one was pizza night. So that's what's out there. I have no definitive proof that she has a new guy, but all the signs are pointing to she's spending some time with a man.
Good for her as well as a moron.
Yeah.
Although I feel bad because they have kids, and I feel like whenever kids are involved... Yeah, it gets sad.
It gets sad, but it doesn't mean that just because you have a kid, you are the best influence on them.
No. Also, who banged Asuelu? Like, he's a child.
Kalani did multiple times.
Well, yeah, I'm judging her for that, but
totally
I'm kidding.
Her.
But he cannot do better than her. Like,
no.
So he went somewhere else. She literally... took him in, took care of him because he's a child, mm-hmm. while he was popping child mm-hmm. with her kids.
Yeah, children.
And why did he go somewhere else to bang someone else?
Yeah, you've seen those dance moves, Teresa. You're going to tell me those don't get you a little excited?
Yeah, but then I think of the time that he was handing off ice cream samples and I was like, What?
That's true.
He's like a high schooler.
That's being nice. Middle schooler.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows? But that's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, I hope something will come out of this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Imagine Azuhel on The Single Life. I would love to see that.
I would like to see that. There's the rumor of the two of them on that couples therapy show.
Yeah. When is that coming up?
I keep checking.
I would love to watch that, actually.
I keep checking. Maybe that's what's coming instead.
No, I think they cannot. 90 Day, any spin-up of 90 Day is the moneymaker for TLC.
But this is, I mean, this is 90 Day couples therapy. But
yeah, but
you're
it's
right.
Not. That's a spin-up of a spin-off. I hope the OG is coming because I did the math. It seems like the OG should be next.
All right. Let's see. Call in if you know.
Yeah.
You guys are smarter than, you guys are more
you guys know
tuned in than we are.
I love it. Like sometimes I'm reading through the messages. I'm like, damn, I should be looking more deeper into all these 90 days. But then I have you guys.
And
why
me.
Should I?
And me, Teresa.
Well,
don't
course.
Forget about me. Doing all the Never. Heavy lifting over here.
And I also do some lifting.
Yes. Yes, you sure do. All right. Well, let's get into it. Sunday night. 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, Season 4, Episode 14. We're getting there, folks. We're really doing it. Jen and Rishi?
Let's do it.
Day after Randy spilled the beans, Jen, Randy, and Myra on a little chai date.
That's what I wrote down. Day after the beans were spilled.
Okay, well, I wrote down day after Randy spilled the beans.
Oh, okay.
So strike that, reverse it. And they're sipping some chai.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but I'm vibing Randy and Myra's outfit. I like the dark.
They didn't pack any casual clothing for this trip.
No,
not a pair
not.
Of sweatpants, not a tank top
Listen,
in sight.
You're on TV.
Very true.
This is the one and only time, although...
Randy's got a whole IMDb.
Well, yeah, but that's a long time ago. She's bringing it back. She's back, baby. She's back.
She sure is trying.
Yeah.
What was that website of hers?
Oh, I
Wall
forgot.
Street Stripper?
Yeah. Oh.
.com?
That was so wild.
I'm
surprised none of you guys said anything about that.
Yeah, you guys didn't call in about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, guys, call in now.
Maybe everyone's skipping over the by the ways.
Oh, that would be so sad. Guys, are you skipping over John's by the ways?
No,
I hope not.
I hope not. Okay. Anyways, clearly, Rishi is hiding the truth from Jen because they're like toasting those chais to acceptance and family.
And Jen is like, I'm so relieved that his family is okay with the marriage. Are they, Jen?
They're not okay, which you'll soon find out.
Yeah.
The only thing she is concerned about is the family house.
Yeah. And it's because she doesn't want to feel like she lives in a prison when she has to live in someone else's house, obeying by someone else's rules. And Myra is like, well, of course, that's not you.
And I, at first, didn't like that. I don't like when other people tell other people what they are. Oh, well, you know, the house is really charming and mom is really sweet, but that's just not you, girl. It's like, let her be who she wants to be.
But then she's telling them
but
that.
But then she agrees.
Yeah.
My point is still valid because a lot of people are like, you don't want that.
But that's
you don't
what
want that.
That's what friends do.
That is.
That's what friends do.
Maybe that's why we don't have any friends.
No friend ever would listen to you or like go through something that'd be like, yeah, I have no opinion about it. You decide for yourself.
Fair enough. Yeah, you just hope they're there for support. You don't necessarily want to take on someone else's opinion.
But this is how you know that you have a good friend. That they don't always agree with you. They don't always support you. They can sometimes tell you, like, this is dumb as fuck. Like, why are you doing this?
Right.
Right?
But
they will still, that's still an opinion.
Right. So that's what Myra says. Jen agrees and is like, all right, well, I'll sit down with Rishi. We'll have a real talk and I'll share my thoughts on the family house.
Yeah. So they're home. Rishi's coming over. So the ladies are ready to hit the market. So Jen can talk to him on her own.
What did Jen have to promise Randy to get her off screen for 2 minutes, right? You know Randy didn't go without a fight.
Maybe she gave her cash for the market to spend.
Right. You go buy, you go treat yourself to something nice. Randy, we're gonna take it from here.
But knock knock, who this? It's Rishi, so the ladies are off.
Yeah. Jen gets right into it.
Yeah.
What did the family say when I left? Let's just put it all out there.
And this is what I said. Rishi needs to spill the beans. Because he first is not really saying anything, right? And they talk about living with a family in the family home. And Rishi's like, well, we can if that's not an issue. We can live nearby. It's like,
so
dude,
crazy.
Dude.
You're bearing the lead.
What are you talking about where you're going to live if you know that you're not going to live anywhere together?
It's such manipulation where it's like, okay, I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you this false sense of hope. Well, yeah, they want us to all live together. Like, first of all, no, they don't. They don't even want to see you ever again, Jen. But yeah, they want us to all live together. I know you don't want to. So we could get a place next door, or we could get like a duplex. They could live on the top. We could live on the bottom. It's like, what is this fantasy world you're living in? Just tell her the truth. It's going to be a much shorter and to the point conversation. Just say, hey, you're too old. My family doesn't accept it. You're too old.
Yeah, but honestly, it's harsh. And I think, and I said it before, she's not old, but I think she's old to have kids. And that's why the family is upset. I believe that.
But that never came up, did it?
It did not. But I feel like they don't want to say it, or maybe they, for them, it's just like, no, that's too big of an age gap. But what? As I said before, if she's in her mid-30s, he's in his early 20s, I don't think that would be an issue.
I guess Jen doesn't have to say it because it's been said on TV. When she went through that list of things that the Rishi's family said is needed in a wife, it was not too dark-skinned, tall, educated, nothing about age.
Yeah.
Jen didn't bring up anything about age, but maybe it's because we're seeing it firsthand here.
Yeah.
So Jen's like, you think that's bad? Listen to this. But so they go round and round about this house, and oh, it's okay, we can live down the street. But finally, Rishi goes, here's the thing. House, that's not the big issue. The big thing is when they asked about your age. And when I told them how old you were, nah, they were totally opposed to us.
And Jen is like, wait, they said no? We don't approve.
She's like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom said right away, no to this relationship.
Yeah. Oof.
From the beginning, Rishi says, though, this was the only thing that bothered me. And Jen's like, well, from the beginning, maybe you should have figured that out before you proposed then. I'm only getting older, Rishi.
Yeah, and I get, like, Rishi should have had a conversation with his parents to be like, okay, or with his mom and uncle, like, okay, what is it okay if I bring in a woman from the U.S. or from elsewhere? Like, he should have made sure that it's okay before he proposed. Like, I agree with that. Like,
if you're going to abide by your parents' rules or your family's feelings, yes. If you were going to say, I don't care what you say, mom, uncle, so-and-so, then it doesn't matter. And maybe he thought he could go against his family. Maybe he thought he would be able to stand up and go for what he wants. But then in the moment, he realized, I can't. And so now he's in this situation.
Yeah, but he has the option to say, hey, I don't care what my parents say. Let's do it. Let's get married. We'll be together. Eventually, my parents will come around, right?
He does, and that's where
He does not.
I'm saying he does have that option. And in my head, that's the first place I go. I go, come on, why wouldn't you stand up for the person you love? But it's not my culture. I'm an American. I don't know what it's like to...
Yes, but I was just going to add, you're Jewish, and you're not your family is not religious. They don't care whether I'm Jewish or not. But there's so many families out there, and I've met them because I was friends with their au pairs who were very strict,
sure.
Right? So if your parents always wanted you to marry a Jewish girl before you proposed to me, you would have asked them.
I don't know if I would have asked.
You would have told them, like, hey, I'm about to propose to Teresa. She's not Jewish, but that's fine with me.
I don't know. It's such a big hypothetical. I can't even put myself...
So you wouldn't tell them you would just propose to me and just then we're going to pretend that I'm Jewish?
No. But think about how it really went down. They got to know you over the years. They knew you weren't Jewish. And then I just said, hey, I'm going to propose to Teresa.
True, but what I'm saying is
I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have said, hey, mom, hey, dad, is it okay? Will you accept it? I would have just said, you know Teresa, you met her, you love her, I'm going to propose to her.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a question. Well, it would have been an announcement.
True, but you know, I have a friend who had to convert.
Yes.
And she did, and that was her decision, but I...
But that's because her husband wanted her to.
Yeah, but I think his family too.
I think he wanted it as well.
Well, they wanted the kids
to
be Jewish.
They live in Israel.
They do, yes.
So, I think it's a little bit different. I hear what you're saying. We can't put ourselves in Rishi's...
No, we cannot.
...shoes. I think it's a luxury. Sometimes people say it's a privilege to marry for love versus other reasons.
Yeah, we both are very lucky that our families are very open-minded. They don't care.
Yeah.
They also love us.
I think take the Jewish religion off the table. I think a lot of families, and we see it all the time on 90 Day Fiancé, would question the fact that you're Czech and that you're not American and that you're not a citizen and that you needed a green card. My parents never once brought that up, right?
No.
So forget Judaism. I didn't ask like, hey, is it okay if I marry this foreigner? Right? I said, this is my decision. I'm an adult and I'm going to tell them because I think it's exciting and I want them to know that I'm going to do something big.
For sure. Plus, I'm a bestie of your mom. So.
Plus, you guys are best friends. And yeah, and it was all good. But Rishi, I get it. It's a different circumstance. So Jen's upset. She takes off her ring. She goes to give it back. And she's like, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't stand up for me.
Which is true.
Your family said no. But what did you tell them? When they pushed back, what did you tell them?
I think he just cried.
Well, he goes, I don't think my point of view is a big deal for them. Which is like, they don't respect what I want.
Well, we used to give shit to Summit, but at least Summit, it took him forever.
Forever.
But he kept Jenny in India and he finally did marry her and he went against everything and everyone and mom freaked out,
mm-hmm.
but he did it. And Rishi just is going to let her go. That's,
yeah.
Have you watched Jenny and Summit season?
He says, I can't go against my family. I'll choose my family. But at the same time, I'm not ready to lose her. So he just keeps trying to buy time.
Yeah.
You hate to make the comparison because it's too easy and obvious.
Yeah.
Jenny Smith, but like, it is a very similar storyline. So it's hard not to make that comparison.
Yeah. But again, they did it.
They did it.
And Summit, they live in their own house. They always have. He did marry her.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I guess there is a price, but Summit's family is coming around now. I don't know if Sadna is, but everyone else is.
That's a good point. Everyone really did come around
yeah.
on Summit's side, except for Sadna. But yeah, you fight for what you want.
Yeah, for
if
sure.
If you really, truly want it, you fight for it. In this moment, neither does.
Yeah.
Jen says, I don't think we should be together. I don't think we can be together. And asks Rishi to leave. And it was an emotional goodbye. It did seem like an authentic breakup between two people who love each other.
Yeah, but Jen said, you need to go now. I need to be alone. We'll talk later, but I cannot do it now. That's why I feel like they still talk. Or they may be together. Who knows?
I think they still talk.
Yeah.
But I think it is a social media or a text here and there, maybe a FaceTime. I don't think they're living together. I don't think they have the title of fiance.
I mean, who knows?
I think they stay in communication, but I guess we've seen crazier things. I was going to say, would Jen really do that to herself? She knows
how this story ends. I do believe she left. I do believe she is going to go back to the US, but who knows what's going to happen with them?
We'll probably find out on the tell-all.
I hope so.
All right. I think we need to take a quick break.
All right.
We will tell you about our sponsor for this episode, and we'll be back in a second. And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
You forgot my name.
I did not. How could I?
I don't know, but I saw you look to the sky. Like, what is his name?
Well, I was thinking if I should say John or Jonathan.
It's a big decision.
I only call you Jonathan on this podcast because it's fun.
That's true.
I have a very cute pet names for you. We're just going to keep it to ourselves.
All right.
Do you call it pet names in the US?
I have a pet name, yeah.
You have a pet name for me?
Sure.
Yeah, just something for us. But on this spot, you're Jonathan or John. Yeah. Depends how I feel.
You're Teresa or T.
Exactly.
So, there you go. All right. Well, enough about us. How about Isabel and Gabe?
Let's do this. Wedding day.
We must be at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
If we have a 3-minute nose hair trimming scene.
Ew.
I was like, all right, how long is this thing going to go on for?
Also, get that real thing that you shove it up your nose and it's going to trim it.
There is a specific attachment.
My grandpa used to have it.
He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't get into my personal business, but I don't have one of those.
Yeah. I mean, that's give it 20 years, you'll need one.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I don't think my dad does that, but I think my grandpa used to because, you know, hair grow. Yeah. Hair grows everywhere.
But they say the hair in your nostrils is a defense mechanism against like bacteria and
Well, no, germs. When it's sticking out.
Sure. Extra protection.
Yeah.
It's like swords fighting off any intruders.
Sure.
It'd be an interesting study, sorry, to see like COVID. Take COVID, for example. People with a lot of nose hair, were they more protected against it or not?
Very interesting.
Right?
I think I told you that when I was younger, I have an issue with nosebleeds. Like, I have crazy nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, my doctor suggested that they will burn the veins in my nose.
Yes.
And it held for multiple years. And I felt like I should do it again. Uh-huh. But when they did that, I feel like they burned all the hair in my nose, too. My nose is like a baby butt.
Oh, I would, man.
Such
I
really, a baby butt.
I really wish you had a nose full of hair. I'm really into that.
Well, they grew back if you really want to know.
I'll take a look later.
But yeah, once upon a time, I did have a nose like a baby butt.
So, okay. It's the wedding day. Yes. Gabe looks upset. He's checking out his phone. Seems a little off. And the producer wants to know what's going on. So he says, Monica isn't coming.
Yes. And this segment really shows his immaturity, if I have to say.
His?
Well, Monica's too.
Monica's first and foremost.
Well, Monica's, but his too, because I get it, she's your sister. But as mom says, it's your day and it's her loss. Focus on your bride-to-be. Forget about Monica. Like, that's her loss. And I feel Gabe is getting too emotional. And yeah, I don't like his behavior.
It's hard to just focus on yourself when you gave Monica two of the most important jobs for the ceremony.
I mean, mom is there. Mom is ready. I love mom. Mom also looks like Monica.
Yes, okay, an easy swap. But that's still, can mom handle both? Monica was going to do the walking and the best man duties.
Mom can do it. Gabe needs to get his head out of his ass and focus on his wedding day. I get it.
Come on.
It's a special day, but there was nothing that would stop me or distract me enough from our wedding day.
I hear you, but I'm not going to give Gabe shit. I mean, you're making great points, and yes, get your head in the game. It's not about Monica, it's about Isabel. But how selfish of Monica to be doing this on your brother's wedding day, to be getting in his head, to be pulling fast ones and manipulating and trying to throw wrenches in things and make it about you. No, Monica's to blame here.
No, I get it, but again, if Gabe was mature enough, he would have said, you know what, it's her loss, I'm moving on, as mom says, and I'll be there for my wife-to-be.
What if Daniela,
yeah,
the morning of the wedding, was like, you know what, I never liked John, I'm not coming to the wedding.
I would be like, all right, well, that sucks and that hurts me because you're my friend.
Danielle was Teresa's maid of honor.
Yeah, as my good friend. It wouldn't stop me from marrying you. I wouldn't be showing up late to the wedding. I'd be like, this day is ruined. I would be like, well, my friend had a change of heart that I don't understand, but do I care? No, I'm here for you. I'm not here for anyone else.
You don't think it would shake you for a second?
No, I would ask my mom to stand there.
All right. Well, Either way, they're having an argument.
I would actually judge her for saying this last minute. I would be like, well, if you felt this way, first of all, you should have told me a long time ago. It wouldn't have changed how I feel about John, but it would have changed me asking you to be my maid of honor.
Well, what I have to say about the whole thing, to put a bow in the whole thing, is I wouldn't want someone at my wedding who didn't support the marriage.
True.
If there was someone in my wedding party who didn't like you or didn't like us together, I would say, well, then you don't need to be here.
Yeah.
So, Monica, stay home, stay back in Florida is what I would say.
And she wanted to initially.
And she should.
Yeah.
If you're going to behave like this. But if you guys didn't watch the episode, there was an argument between Gabe and Monica because
the night before they went out, just Gabe, Monica, and her boyfriend, because Isabel was like doing some last minute wedding stuff. And then when Isabel was done, she was ready to join them. And that's when Monica announced that she wants to go home.
Right. So right before Isabel showed up, Monica's like, I want to go home. Gabe's like, no, we can't just leave now. That's rude to Isabel. Yeah. She'll be upset if we leave right before she gets here. And Monica says, well, why would you be with someone who like you're scared of? Why would you be with someone who's going to get mad at you? And that's when Gabe went off and said, you basically get involved in all my relationships and ruin them.
Yeah. Also, what kind of a thinking is that? Like, if you were out with your friends or your family, knowing that I'm going to come, and if right before, if I'm on the way and they said they're going home, that would be totally rude.
Because she's a saboteur. She wants this relationship to fall apart.
But why?
I have no idea. Because she wants her brother back in Florida because there's some weird relationship where she feels some sort of control or need to protect Gabe and she can't do that from Florida while he is in Colombia.
But she has her own life. Like,
does she though?
I don't know.
Exactly. She seems very involved in Gabe's.
But anyways, I get it. She's the protective sister, but she's going too far.
100%.
But luckily there is a mom. A mom is like, Gabe, this is your day. Forget about her. We'll deal with her later. We'll deal with her tomorrow.
You have enough to worry about with your nose hairs. You don't need to worry about Monica.
Exactly.
Too.
And Gabe said that mom never took sides, which is, I love that. I thought your mom is the same way.
Yeah, you can take sides.
Oh, well, some parents do.
But reason has to trump anything else in a time like this. And the reasonable thing to do is to forget Monica and proceed with your wedding.
Yeah, and that's what mom is telling him. And so then next thing we see, Isabel's getting ready, chatting with dad, and he's kind of giving her this pep talk, right?
Yeah.
Pre-marriage pep talk, just like, this is forever. Things will not always be in your control, but it's okay.
Stay calm.
Yeah.
God is great. God has the power.
Mom pulled an all-nighter on sewing bridesmaid dresses.
Sewing them, too.
Yeah, what did I say?
Suing.
Sewing them.
But it's a family affair over here, right? It's a real family affair, quite the opposite from Gabe's family.
Yeah, and so Isabel's heading over to the farm where the wedding is with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. She took care of everything. And all Gabe had to do is to wake up, get ready, and show up.
I thought you were about to launch into a System of a Down song. You're like, all Gabe had to do is wake up, put on a face and on makeup.
I love System of a Down.
Yeah.
But Gabe texts her, says he's late. And this is where I got pissed because I was like, you're late because you're laying in bed being sad about Monica.
Yeah.
And this is your wedding day. And this why I call him immature, right?
You're right. At some point, you gotta stand up and get to your wedding.
Yeah, because poor Isabel is 90 minutes till the wedding. He's nowhere to be found. All he had to do is to show up. Meanwhile, he lays in the bed being sad about his sister while he's about to get married. Like, if I found that out later, I would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, I'm not that surprised. Gabe needs someone to take the reins. Gabe needs a kick in the ass. He's been dropping the ball left and right, whether it's the paperwork or it's the stamps for his business. Like, he can't take care of himself.
Yeah, he's not a leader.
He's not a leader.
No.
So
Isabel is.
Isabel needs to show up, drag him by the collar to the altar and say, let's do this thing.
Yeah, but that's why I think they are a great couple. They complement each other.
They do.
But this is on Gabe. Like, dude.
It is.
It's your special day. Like, I get it. She's your sister, but come on. Are you going to let her ruin your day?
100%. The buck stops with Gabe. It's up to him whether or not he shows up, whether or not he puts a smile on that face. But Monica was being an absolute child for starting this in the first place.
Yeah, that's why he should be above it.
100%.
And just move on.
100%.
Even like, let's say if Mom and Monica both are being like, like you should know, then I would be like, all right, my family, the only family I have, isn't here for me. This sucks. It's just Monica. Mom is 100% in. She loves Isabel. She's there for him. She's like, come on, it's your day. Forget about that. We'll deal with Monica later. Come on.
Especially when the night before, Gabe is literally saying, Monica, you're always getting involved in my relationships. You're always ruining them. You're always the issue. Now he's seeing that come to fruition and he's allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of going, wait, here we go again, Monica ruining my relationships. Yeah. He's allowing it to happen. He should just say, know what? I'm going to put an end to that. I'm going to take the power in my own hands and I'm going to go get myself married.
Very true.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Next. Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this one.
Debbie and Osama.
Deborah and Osama. All right. Day after the fight, Osama is with his sister Asma at a cafe.
Oh, Asma is so on this with him. Like, I feel like they're almost planned scamming Debbie and going to the U.S.
I'm so back and forth on this one as to whether it was... Well, okay. Let me stop right there.
Well, maybe not. I think she's going to throw him under her bus a little bit.
Asma?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, Asma's like, WTF. Debbie came home alone last night, packed her bags, and took off. What happened? And basically, Osama says, well, I wanted to paint. She wanted to talk about the future. You know how I get when I create. I got to focus. She wanted to yap, 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 yap about the future. I lost it. I got mad. I called her crazy.
Yes. And he's like, you know, I didn't understand that she wanted to live here. I thought when she said, I'm moving to Morocco, I didn't think it was forever. Dude, moving somewhere means for at least a while.
Now, here's where I go back and forth. Couple things. One, she's gone to Morocco before for a short period of time, hung out, and returned home. I think I've made this point before. So maybe in his mind, this was the same thing that was going to happen again.
Well, his English isn't that bad, so...
My second point was going to be... He's speaking in a second language.
True, but moving somewhere and visiting, two different things. You would never say, oh, I'm moving to Czech for 2 weeks.
Again, it's his second language. But my third point, and maybe the most important point to remember, whether I think it was like the first day or the second day she was in Morocco, Osama said, okay, you're going home in a couple months. He said that. He told her she was going home, and she was like, what? No, I'm staying here. He's like, no, you're going home in a few months.
Yeah, but he didn't tell her, oh, I'm going with you.
He didn't say that, but clearly that's not moving to Morocco if he's saying, no, aren't you going home in a couple months?
Yeah, well, I get that misunderstanding, but Debbie had no idea about him going to the U.S. and getting his papers. Like, and she's not an idiot. If they talked about it, she would have known.
Yes. And that's where I'm kind of torn because I do think he was using Debbie to get to the States.
Oh, he was.
But I don't know that he ever told her they'd be living in Morocco.
Well, I think they did. I think he was trying to play it out. And Osama said that Debbie likes their butt, but they cannot live there because he doesn't have the money. And Asma's like, oh, okay, I got it now. You had your plan since day one and it was moving to the U.S.,
which I think is true. I
but
think
why
that was
didn't Debbie know? Like, again, Debbie, she's not an idiot. She's not a person who, yes, she lives in her own world.
She lives in her own world, Teresa.
Yet, moving to the U.S. would have to be a discussion because just think about everything that would go into that. The visa applying, the lawyers, the green card
You
process.
Understand that has to go into moving to... Morocco too. She can't just show up to Morocco and live there permanently.
No, but I'm sure that getting to live in Morocco is much easier than the US. I'm telling you, moving to Europe, even if you marry someone from Europe like myself, you making you a Czech citizen or getting you a permanent residency would have been much, much, much easier than the whole green card process.
Fine. But at the root of it is what you said. Their conversations, their communication. They must have talked about it. I don't think so. Debbie speaks in haikus. Debbie speaks in riddles. I don't think these two have ever had a real conversation since the day they first started talking on Facebook. We've seen them together now for 14 episodes. There's never been a real conversation.
I guess.
There's been random words thrown out and like role playing and painting, but there's never been a real adult conversation.
No, but something like this, I'm sure they talked about. I just felt like Usama played it out saying, all right, move to Morocco and we'll see how it goes. And him saying, we'll see how it goes. Maybe he was like, well, once we live in Morocco, she probably won't want to go home. And then we'll move to the U.S. I don't think he ever said it. Like, he says it right now. Because she's shocked. She's like, what? That we never talked about it.
Yeah, and Usama never said to Debbie, this was our plan. This is what I've been
saying.
What
are you talking about? That's all he said last time. He said, this was our plan from the beginning. You bringing me to the U.S.
This was, yeah. I knew it was his plan.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he acted like Debbie agreed to it.
He did.
Yeah.
He was like, this was our plan. You bringing me to the U.S. so I can have a good, better life.
No, I know. But I thought it was like, this is what I want. This is what you're going to. I thought he said, this is what you're going to do. And if
well,
you're not,
he
we're
did
done.
Too. But he told her like that was a plan. And she was like, I didn't know about this. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, again, neither of them are grounded in reality. So I really don't think they had a serious conversation about this.
Also, I hate to say this, but he would never get a green card through this relationship.
No, that would be red flag central.
Jesus Christ, that would be a huge red flag.
Yeah.
If anything, they have a better chance of staying in Morocco, even if she was coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could get married in Morocco and then get the spousal, potentially.
Oh, I'm very curious how that would work.
Yeah, we don't know.
I hate to say that. Like, listen.
I don't. This is not a real relationship.
It's not, but let's say it was, right? Love is love.
Well,
who
that's
knows?
Different. This
but
is
that,
not.
It's not. But it looks so odd on the paper.
Yeah.
That yes. That would be a lot of questioning, a lot of deep digging to this relationship.
All right. Let's cut to later in the day. Deb is going to meet up with Usama at a cafe. Did you hear how she said it?
She's like,
a cafe.
Well, there's a lot of words she doesn't know how to say.
So this is maybe my favorite scene of definitely of this episode, maybe several episodes.
Yeah, like the waitress comes and Debbie is like, do you have any Texas margarita?
What is a Texas margarita?
I don't know. I know Tex-Mex.
I have to think it's what she gets at the Texas Roadhouse.
Probably.
You got any one of those margaritas that they make at the Texas Roadhouse?
Isn't there a chain that's called Tex-Mex?
No.
No, there is.
There's absolutely not.
It's like down the street from
Tex-Mex
us.
Is a style of food.
Well, yeah, but it's a chain.
No, it's not.
No. It's
You're
a chain.
You're thinking of Chewy's.
Yeah, and it's a Chewy's. Tex-Mex.
Yeah, Tex-Mex is a style of food.
I know, but I'm saying Chewy says it, Tex-Mex.
Okay.
So I'm sure maybe they have a Tex margarita and Mex margarita.
I'm going with is what she gets at her local Texas Roadhouse, and she just thinks, well, they must make them like that everywhere.
I don't think they make margaritas in Texas Roadie.
Oh, yeah, they do. For sure. For sure they do.
They have the awesome blossom that's not good.
It's not that awesome.
Not awesome at all.
They have the bread with the cinnamon butter, which is...
The bread is stupid.
Oh, good.
I'll get probably some shit, but the rest of the food's not good.
It wasn't great. We only went because we got it for free on my birthday or something.
Yeah, we got the free awesome blossom.
Bloomin' onion.
Yeah.
Yeah, the awesome blossom is Chili's.
Yeah, oh, you're right. You're right. Chili's. Extra awesome.
Chili's is, what does Michael Scott say? He's like, Chili's is the new something for like meetings. Read it in Small Businessman magazine.
Yeah.
Chili's is the new golf course, I think is what he says. Small Business magazine.
We only go to Chili's at the airport.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. She's like, the waitress goes, well, we have tea and coffee. And she's like, coffee and tea? No absinthe?
But the way she said absinthe, that's not how you say absinthe.
She's like, absinthe?
I was like, well, what is she saying? And Judd had to rewind and put the subtitles on so he could actually see that she is saying absinthe.
No, I said absinthe. Teresa goes, what did she just order? I said absinthe. And Teresa goes, no, she doesn't. She didn't order that. Rewind it. And I did. And then you didn't believe me.
Yeah. And Debbie's like, it's like a desert here for margaritas. But Usama shows up.
Yes.
And Debbie's telling him that she is really hurt by what he said. And Usama comes in a little hot and heavy because he's like, well, you also get angry sometimes.
Yeah.
Instead of like, and he told his sister that he still loves Debbie. He wants to be with her. It's not about America, right? Well, you should be kissing her ass, not to start attacking her.
Yeah, they don't have, I was going to say, any type of communication style, but they do have a communication style. It's just not a healthy communication style.
No. And Debbie's like, why didn't you tell me about going to the U.S. the first night? Like, you didn't say anything. And Usama, and here's how he plays it, because that was so clear of his intentions, because he's reminding her of the plans. Like, you remember the plan was to go to the U.S. and get married there, and so we can have a better life. And Debbie's like, no, like that was not the plan.
I still
He's gaslighting her.
Oh boy, here we go.
He is, because
he's not. That's not gaslighting. That's just lying, if it is a lie.
Well, it is gaslighting because he's telling her that they planned something that they didn't.
It's not gaslighting.
It is gaslighting.
Gaslighting takes place over a long period of time. It's like a long game.
Oh, this hasn't been a long game?
Who knows? Who knows when this lie started?
I don't use the word gaslighting, but I think it works.
I truly believe this was miscommunication. It doesn't make any sense for Usama just to now say.
No, it's not a miscommunication. It's called the game plan. He had a game plan thinking, all right, she's going to come here for a little bit. She's going to hate it. And then we'll move to the U.S. She brings me over and I'm going to have a better life. But let's not scare her by telling her that. But poor Deb thought she's moving to Morocco.
I'm with you up until the point where he freaks out when they're painting. If this was his game plan, how does freaking out play into it? He needs to be smoother and smarter about it.
But he's not.
I think he lost his shit because he's like, what are you talking about? We had this plan. Like, he sounded like a guy or a person who is so rattled by the fact that you're misunderstanding what we've been talking about this whole time. It's like, wait, what do you mean? We've had this conversation and the plan was to go to the States. It doesn't seem like he just lost his cool because the plan wasn't going his way.
I hate to say this and you guys might give me some shit, but maybe he was hoping that she's older, she forgets, and he might play her like a violin, telling her his truth. Like, oh, what are you talking about? We've planned it. Hoping that, oh, she would probably be like, oh, man, we did. I probably forgot about it because I'm almost 70. And in Usama's world, maybe that's what older people do.
Yeah. No, I think more people will side with you than will side with me. But I really think this was miscommunication.
No,
from the night one where he's going, no, you're going home in a couple months to.
But she was going home. He didn't say, oh, no, we're going to the U.S. in a couple of months.
I know, but whether she's going home alone or they're going home together is proof positive that he didn't think she was moving there for good.
I give you that. But I think this all was a play. First, he's like, move to Morocco. We'll live here. We'll live in Rabat. It'll be beautiful. Maybe we'll save my family. Then she comes. He's like, well, you're going to the U.S. in a few months, right? And so she starts thinking like, okay, I guess I'm not here forever. I'll go back to the U.S. in a few months. What am I going to do without Usama? And then Usama's like, well, you're bringing me to the U.S. Like, he plays her or he tries. But I'm glad that Debbie doesn't let him.
Yeah. All right. Long story short, Deb gets pissed off.
Yeah. Says, as she should.
Talk to the hand.
Oh.
I'm going forward without you. And she stands up, puts her derby hat on, and leaves.
Good for her.
So then we see her alone at a hotel. She's packing, ready to leave Morocco. And she's like, somehow, some way, I'll recover from all this craziness. You've got a wiser Debbie now.
Yeah, and she's happy because she's like, anyway, Osama really opened up my eyes, saying I don't have to be afraid of men and emotions. Like, I've just been through the worst. I'm ready to get out there.
It's like sticking your finger in a light socket. Here's what I will say to Debbie's defense. Judging by the amount of suitcases she had.
She moved there.
I do, yeah. I do think she was planning on moving to Morocco.
She had 5 or 6 suitcases.
Right. So this is why I'm saying miscommunication. I do think she thought she was moving to Morocco. I don't think Osama thought she was for good.
Yeah, I mean, miscommunication, but I also think that Osama had a game plan.
Oh, I'm not saying he's innocent in this. I'm just saying I think his scam was to move to the States from day one. I don't think he ever thought she's going to move here permanently and we'll take it from there. I thought it was, no, you can come visit me. Maybe we'll get married while you're here and then I'll come over on the spousal. I don't think he ever.
But he never said it.
Maybe.
I don't believe he ever said it. I'm going to repeat myself once again. He played her. He was hoping that, okay, she's going to move to Morocco. She's probably not going to like a different culture. She will want to go back home. Well, she'll bring me with her because she loves me.
But she's visited multiple times.
Visited. There is a difference. You can talk about that yourself. Imagine moving to Czech. Like, you go there for two weeks. We have fun. We enjoy each other. If you enjoy Czech, moving there would be very different.
True.
So.
True. Let's see. This is a couple that we need deep questioning on the tell-all.
Oh, I hope we'll get that.
We need that, Sean. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Chris and Jamie. We missed them last week. We missed them a lot. We got them this week.
Yeah. So Chris is back in Colombia. Looking awful as usual. She looks like a freaking clown.
She looks like an out-of-work clown.
Can someone dress her up? Like, why don't you just wear jeans and a shirt?
Why don't you let your wife dress you up?
True.
Because Jamie's got some decent fashion sense.
Well, I don't think so, because when she sees Chris, she's like, oh my gosh, you look beautiful.
That's true.
If you look like a clown, I would be like, I love you, but you look like a clown. What are you wearing?
So, okay, Chris gets to the apartment, and they go inside. Jamie has prepped this s'more station for Chris.
Yes, and apparently Jamie didn't know what s'mores were before, which I didn't either.
You didn't know? When did
No, I've never had a s'morf.
A what?
I've never had a s'morf. What?
Spell what? It for me. Spell it for me.
S'morf. S-M-O-R-F. S'morf.
That's what I was worried about.
You spell it.
Do you think they're like little blue guys with white hats?
Those are s'morfs? We call them shmolova.
Those are smurfs. The treat, the chocolatey treat. Say it one more time.
S'morf. Oh, I have a hiccup.
Oh, boy.
Okay, talk for a little bit.
Oh, boy. Are we going to have to pause this podcast? All right. Let me tell you what it is. Oh, boy. She's plugging her nose and doing some breathing techniques. We're going to have to pause, I think. Oh, boy. Hold on. Bear with me, guys. Oh. Do we need... All right, we're going to pause. We'll be back in a second. Okay, we're back.
I'm done hiccuping.
And don't worry, guys. I didn't tell her while we were off mic.
So you don't eat s'mores?
Here we go.
Don't. Okay.
Here we
so
go.
You tell me, what is it called?
I'm going to spell it for you.
Okay.
S-M.
Okay.
O-R.
That's what I said.
E.
S'mores?
Yeah. No F.
That's not as fun as s'mores.
There's no F.
Well, I've never had s'mores. S'mores?
No. Yeah, you got it right.
I just don't find it that... I see the big squishy purple thingy in the middle and the chocolate and the cracker.
Purple?
Like pinkish, yeah, whitish.
Uh-huh, it's white. It's called a marshmallow.
Yeah, I did have a marshmallow in Czech.
Wait, you've like never had marshmallows before?
I did. I said they used to sell them as like a candy brand. I did try it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, s'mores are okay. The activity is more enjoyable than the treat itself.
Give me a hot dog.
Give me a hot dog. Roast that thing over the fire.
See, that comes back to like, I don't love sweets. So maybe that's, me seeing that kind of, it looks like a glue.
I do like graham crackers. But okay. I don't love marshmallows and I don't need the chocolate. So here's the real issue with this s'more.
She prepared s'mores, but they didn't even make them?
No. I'm glad they did because they were going to roast them over a starter log in the fireplace. Like that thing is just chock full of chemicals.
I guess you're right.
You should not be roasting s'mores over a starter log.
Probably not.
Definitely not. Definitely. And then Jamie's like, oh, look at this welcome home sign. That was the saddest welcome home sign I've ever seen.
Yeah, she should have gotten her a balloon.
It was a couple like half inch letters on the plain black board. Yeah, a couple balloons, a banner. Inject a little color into this welcome home, right?
Something.
It was very sad. So Chris is like, you know, things are a little awkward. We kissed and it was like kissing a stranger, but I'm not going to bring up anything tonight. We're going to wait to confront the issues till tomorrow.
Yes. So next day they woke up and Chris is like, well, it actually wasn't that bad because Jamie got a onesie of a shark onesie to match my unicorn onesie. We're doing TikToks. So much love.
So much love. So,
me too. I have a onesie. It's a beaver. No, it's a hat.
It's a groundhog.
It's a groundhog. Yeah.
They're going swimming today. Yeah, the spirits are high because of the matching onesie. So they're going swimming and they're going to celebrate Jamie's birthday, even though it's a month late.
Yes.
So they get to this pool. Chris, this is how you do signage. Chris pulled out all the stops for this pool party. There were balloons and streamers and a banner, cake, party hats.
That was really nice.
Nicely done, Chris.
Yeah.
Nicely done. So they change into their suits. Chris, like, sprints to the pool and does a barrel roll.
So here's what I was thinking. What happened to her pain?
Thank you. That's what I wrote down. I wrote, you don't do this if you have neck and back pain.
And then Jamie's trying to drown her, grabbing her neck.
Yes, Jamie was like jumping on her, doing like a chokehold on her.
I guess she is all stocked up on drugs, so it's fine for a while.
It was definitely a little suspicious.
Right?
So it's fun. It's all good. Cut to an hour later, they're having cake. And Jamie... Of course. I don't know why these people feel the need to just ruin a good moment.
Yeah, classic 90 day.
Just let it be. Let it be. Shout out to John Lennon. Let it be.
Yeah.
Jamie's like, you know, I'm upset. You weren't here for my birthday. I know. I get it. You're a mom. Something happened with your son, which I want to know what happened. Please tell us what happened.
Yeah, maybe he stole a rare motorcycle.
Stole the rare motorcycle.
Yeah, but honestly, this... I don't like Chris, but I'm kind of on her side here. Because like, okay, she missed Jamie's birthday. She says, it's because of my son. Let's go with the story. She really made up for it.
Yes.
It's not like she forgot and no, like Jamie, stop being a child. Freaking enjoy it. Maybe you can say, hey, I missed you. I missed that you didn't come. You didn't make it for my actual birthday, but this is great. Thank you.
Here's the thing. It's not about the birthday, Teresa. It's not about the birthday at all. The real issue is the money.
Yeah.
Chris is like, all right, you want to talk about money? You got a house for us. That's $150 more a month than we agreed to.
I'm sure it's the fireplace. She should have gotten a place without it.
Sans fireplace.
Always, every hotel room with a fireplace is always like $200 more.
Not $200 more, but $29, $30 more. Worth
really?
It. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
We just booked one.
I know.
The entire room wasn't $200.
Well, because we're booking it 11 months in advance.
Yeah.
That's the move, guys.
But this is what it's about. It's not about you weren't here for my birthday, because think about it. They were fighting. They were not even communicating a month ago. So you really think she cares if she was there for her birthday? No, it's about the money.
I guess.
She's saying it. She's like, what do you want me to say when the man comes for the rent? Like, the money conversation sets Chris off. And they go from 0 to 100. They're just shouting.
Yeah. And Jamie's like, I'm trying to talk to you. Chris is like, lower your voice. Don't talk to me like that. And yeah, literally 0 to 100. But their money issue is on both of them. But I'm going to put it more on Chris. She made Jamie quit her job. And yes. She said, we're going to start our business. We're going to do something together. And then she leaves for a month, leaving her there sitting around. Like, so if she found a new job, then, well, what's going to happen with the business they planned?
You're right. And to take Jamie's side, she is an immigrant from Venezuela. She did say it's harder for immigrants to find work.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right. Chris said, leave your job and I'll take care of you. And that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, well, not even I'll take care of you. We'll start a business. Let's do it. Let's make money together. So Jamie quits her job. Chris leaves her for a month.
Yeah.
And again,
that's a good point.
Yeah. This is entirely on Chris. And then she stops paying rent.
Yeah. And then, so Chris, as I said, she like stands up, basically flips that table, sprints off. Again, not looking like someone with neck and back pain.
Yeah. Who knows?
Something's up there.
Well, one more. Let's get a little... Let's give Daniel some shit. Okay. Daniel and Johan.
Yeah. So Johan first is not happy with how he behaved at the bar with Talen. So he wants to meet up with him at the basketball court so he can apologize.
Yes. Let me just say this. I didn't mind Daniel on Loving Paradise. Like, she was getting a little crazy, but I was still kind of like, okay, well, she met this guy. Is he using her to go to the U.S.? Who knows? The way she behaves, it's like, Johan, run.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're at the basketball court. I would not, this was Johan's idea to go to the court. I would not invite my fiance's ex to school me in a sport that he's a professional. Like, if you felt humiliated by the way you behaved at the bar, getting schooled on the basketball court is not going to make you feel any better.
You see, I misunderstood. I thought Talen was a baseball player.
No.
Well, I can see he's a basketball player.
He's a basketball player.
Yeah, and Johan, not so good, but...
For someone that tall, you should be better.
But this is what I realized, that I don't mind Talen, because he was like, Johan is pretty good. That wasn't too bad. Like, he was so nice.
I don't mind Talen. I mind Danielle.
100%.
The whole issue with Talen was off-putting because of the way Danielle approached it. On Johan's birthday, being like, no, I'm going to see this guy that I used to bang. I don't care what you say. I don't care about your feelings. Talon's sort of an innocent bystander in this whole thing. And when he shows up, he's very considerate, saying, no, you guys are married. I would never do anything to get in between you. Talon's not at fault here.
Yeah. And Johan realized that, and he's like, I need to apologize to him. So after a game, they're grabbing something to eat, and Johan apologizes for all the penis comments.
And it was awkward when Danielle was there. It's even weirder when Johan talks about the penises without Danielle there. When it's just like Johan and Tim, like, yo, sorry, I talked about your penis, man. It's like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, but I'm glad he addressed it, because unlike Danielle, he can at least man up and be like, okay, well, that wasn't okay.
Sure.
Let me say something. But Johan has questions, and he wants to know if Danielle was controlling when she was with Talen. And there is a part of me that I would never, like, let's say you're not even friends with your ex, but we ran into her somewhere, I would never ask her because I don't give a shit how you were with her, right?
Everyone's relationship
truly don't
is
give
different.
A shit.
Right. You act different with different people.
Yeah.
I'm a different person. I act differently with you.
Yeah, you better.
So you're right. It's sort of an inconsequential question, or it's...
Yeah, but at the same time, like, why? I would not want to know. I genuinely
you
don't
wanna,
care.
You want to know if it's... I get why he asked. You want to know, is it me or is it her?
I guess.
And he wants to find out that it's her.
And it is her because she is controlling.
Yeah, and Johan's like, well, okay, sometimes I feel like I don't have control in the relationship, and I get that she wants to have control, but I also want to have control. We should both have control.
And Thailand agrees. He's like, absolutely.
Yeah, he's like...
They both should wear the pants.
You got to share the pants.
You got to share the pants.
And you got to make sacrifices, and you both have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Johan says, well, I've already made too many sacrifices, and Danielle, she's going to have to make some if she wants this to work out. And Thailand says, well... Danielle's not going to do that. Danielle's not going to change for anyone.
But I'm with Johan on this. Like, he finds it disrespectful when she just does whatever she wants. And it's so true. You're married. You should work with your husband or your wife and make sure both parties are happy. She's going YOLO here, doing whatever she wants. She's basically acting like she's single with a husband, like whatever. Like,
no,
that's not how things are when you're married or happily married,
should
I say.
It's been Danielle's way or the highway, where you don't pay tolls or tickets since day one, because she said, we're moving here. You're not going to do this for work. You're not going to see this person. I'll see this person, whether you like it or not. It's always been her way.
Yeah, I don't know how she's getting away with all that.
It doesn't seem like she's going to get away with it for much longer.
Well, we'll see, because they're sitting by the ocean, because that's the place she needs to be to... the ocean keeps her calm.
Ocean heals.
She is so mad at Johan that she needs the ocean.
Yeah, and Johan's like, all right, well, I had a good time with Thailand. I got to know him. He's a good person.
And he compliments her. He's like, you look very nice with your head and your beach outfit.
Yeah. And so Johan's like, you know, Thailand's a good guy. We settled our differences, and Danielle's like, all right, good, because maybe in another month, a different friend's going to come, and I'm going to want to hang out with them, and I don't want to have to fight about it.
How many exes do you have, Danielle?
Right? And why are they all visiting you in the DR?
Also, she should clarify if there is a big difference between friends and friends, as she calls her exes, right? Mm-hmm. If it's just a friend, then that's fine. I don't see a problem with that. But if you're going to be inviting your exes, then why?
Right.
Like, to show them, like, look at me, like, I have this tall, hot guy, I'm living my best life, this is what you lost? Or what is she doing?
She wants as much love and attention as she can get, and this is how she gets it.
Apparently.
So Johan's like, you know, we've been having bad days, I'll admit that, but I'm trying my best, and I want you to try your best too. And Danielle goes, well, first I need an apology. And Johan's like, for what?
No, it was the other way around. Like, Johan says, well, you need to say I'm sorry. And Danielle was like, me? For what?
Right. And yeah, Danielle doesn't think she did anything wrong. She doesn't ever feel like she does anything wrong. So she's not going to apologize.
And then she, like, loses her shit. She's like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. Enough. Enough. Just leave. Leave me alone. Shut up. Enough. I'm done. And I'm like, is she done with the marriage? Is she done at the moment? And she just keeps going. She was like, call your priest. Call your mom. I'm done. I'm done. Enough. And then she just floats in the ocean.
At first, when she was like, call your priest, call your mother, I was thinking, oh, is this to get a divorce? Is this what she's saying? But I think she was just saying, like, here's a cord, or call someone who cares, because I'm done listening.
Well, I don't know what she meant. I don't know if she meant she's done for good or she's done at the moment. But then she kept saying, like, well, I don't need a man to tell me what to do. I'm my own person, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay. And she said, well, I can live here alone.
I think
who knows?
She's definitely done with the conversation. Yeah,
well, she's floating in the ocean.
I don't know if she's done with the relationship. The issue here, it really comes down to lack of respect. There is zero respect between either of them. I know she doesn't respect Johan, and it doesn't seem like Johan really respects her.
I almost feel like Johan would respect her if he was getting any respect from him.
Right, it's a little bit, you respect me, I'll respect you.
Yeah.
And she's definitely not respecting him.
Well, here's the problem with this whole thing. She feels like she's above him with everything. With education, with money, with everything. And that's why she thinks she can run this show. Because she is the one who makes the money. She's the one who can pick the apartment. She's the one who...
She can get a green card.
Yeah, and knows it all on the quotation marks, right? And then there is poor Johan living in her world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, of course he's getting fed up with that.
Yeah, I'm surprised he lasted this long.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. Well, we'll see.
We'll see, because that's where it ends. That's where the episode ends.
That was a good one.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was all right. Nothing that juicy happened.
I guess I love just talking about it with you.
Talking about it's great. We can talk about the worst of the episodes, and I'll have a good time doing that. But watching this when I was going, it didn't feel slow. I will say that. It didn't feel slow.
It never feels slow. I freaking love 90. Compared to Mavs, 90 is just so good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Match Me Abroad.
Yeah. I have to say this. I'm a big fan of Mavs, but I think they need to step up their game.
Yeah, well, this season's coming to an end at least, and there'll be some time off, and we'll decide what to do after that.
But here's the thing, 90 never feels redundant to me.
No.
Mavs started feeling that way, and I watch it, and I'm like kind of like, and then we talked about it, it's so much fun, but they need the experts to be more involved. They need something
new. The experts bore me a little bit. They need... Why it feels redundant, and here we go off on a Mavs tangent on the 90
Why not?
I guess, but Mavs has become so formulaic to a fault.
Yeah.
Where every couple does the same exact thing. Every couple lives in the same apartment.
Yeah.
And we've said before on the Mavs pod, it's like a successful couple doesn't need to be doing the same activities as a couple who's on their last breath. You should be doing different things to support the different relationship styles. And then... On top of that, back in the day when they had to go find their own place.
Oh, that was amazing.
Based on how much money they made, that was interesting too, because you see a little bit taste of reality. Oh, this is what we can afford. This is how we can live. Now it's so redundant because everyone has the same apartment. Everyone lives together and they can just go to the common area and hang. Yeah. It's like, that's not real life.
Yeah, I hope they'll do something different. Like, just bring something, a new perspective, something different.
Yeah.
And make the experts more involved, seriously.
I guess. Maybe. I'm kind of over the experts. Ever since DP said she doesn't live with her husband, I'm like, what good are you?
I do like the experts, but I really want them to mix it up a little bit or get more Lindsays and Mark the Sharks.
That's true.
Right?
That's the other thing is don't let these people bail because this season... wouldn't drag as much as it does if we had all the couples, if we had Mac and Don. Like, yes, we want love and success, but the most exciting couples are the ones that hate each other. And Mac and Dom hated each other, and that's why it was exciting.
Absolutely. But back to 90, 90 never bores me.
Because it's all unique storylines.
Absolutely. And I love it. I love it. Even if it gets slower or not, even if it's happily ever after, we know the couples... they still go through their own shit. They still go through their own issues and loves and downs and ups. And it's different. And it excites me. And please keep it going, guys.
Yeah. All right. We've said a lot. If you guys want more Mavs talk, well, tune into the Mavs pod.
And we have always fun talking about it, obviously.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/marriedtoreality. What else? Make sure you guys are following the podcast. This very one right here. It's so easy to do. You look down, you smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's hot. It's a beautiful review we got from our friend.
Munch. Thank you, Munch. Thank you, Munch. You love Teresa's accent. We love to hear it. So
I love the review. It comments like this really help me embrace my accent on this podcast. Sometimes I forget about it. Sometimes I think about my accent too much. Yeah. And then that's not good either. But hearing this just brings me happiness.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you, Monchia. You're laughing out loud while you're driving by yourself. You're not alone when you're listening to us. You're with us.
Munch. You are with us.
You're with us. Just the three of us.
Love it.
All right. Thank you. That is it. I think I've said it all. Have you said it all?
Too much.
You definitely said too much. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. It is S'more, not S'morf. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.